Okay, we gotta put a little. We both gotta say. On the count of three, we both have to say "new Numa," and that'll be the.
Okay then.
The thing for syncing. Okay. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
New Numa,
Ura, hey.
Oh, we have to sing the whole thing.
Oh, you didn't have to. I just thought. Are there lyrics? I just know he. Is it even in a? Is it in a language or is it just nonsense?
You know, I don't know.
I don't know, because I know the original was, like, Finnish or something. The original song he did, New Numa, too. Not New Numa, the original Numa, Old Numa.
Old
was
Numa.
That, was it Finnish?
Even,
or was it...
even Old New Numa was once in Amsterdam.
It was either Finnish or Danish. It was something. I don't know, it was some Europop.
Alright. Welcome to Beast Friends Forever, a fucking podcast we haven't fucking recorded for fucking weeks, because finding a time when we're both free is impossible.
Time zones and work and life, and man, it's just a crazy bunch of...
I don't know how people do this. This has just been nuts. It's like with every time one of us has been free to record, the other one hasn't been, and it's just kept happening for like 2 weeks.
Well, most podcasts are usually done by people in the same room, and
I mean,
their lives just become the podcast.
Skype based, but like they I guess they are.
I got a couple of those. Hardcore Gaming 101 is definitely Skype based. Hardcore Gaming 101 has an Australian guy, and I would like to talk to him about... He follows me on Twitter. Maybe he's listening to this right now. Shout out to Cal. Do some good stuff, buddy. You're my favorite guy on the podcast. But I'd like to talk to him about it, like how he manages to be on every episode of that podcast with all these American guys. I would say it's probably because he likes to stay up late because he loves his video games so damn much.
Lots of Mountain Dew to keep him going through the nights.
God bless you, Cal. Well, he's really skinny. He looks exactly how I pictured him to look. Like, when I found his Twitter, I'm like, that is exactly the guy I was imagining. Skinny guy with glasses and, like, shortish brown hair. Like, that is exactly the guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy who, like, looks like his voice sounds.
How do you imagine me from my voice?
I think it's always been very integrated. My first exposure to you was probably those drawings of yourself.
Yeah, I think.
Although I guess
I imagine
make yourself
you
look a lot more hideous.
Like a big pile of shit.
Yeah,
just
and then
big,
you found out that
like,
was true.
Kind of like Jabba the Hutt, but made of shit.
Did I ever tell you about the time where I was going through the Star Wars visual guidebook I had, and I got to the Jabba the Hutt page, and I went up to my brother and said, "Oh, I didn't realize you were in the book." Like, calling people Jabba the Hutt is the easiest like insult. Because he is just this disgusting,
good.
Horrible piece of shit.
I feel like I feel like Shrek.
It's the ultimate insult.
Yeah, Shrek is less insulting, but I feel like it really there was a real point where like comparing people to Shrek was in vogue as like an
or calling people Shrek's wife. I remember hearing like, oh, they look like Shrek's wife about like chubby ladies a lot. I always thought it was really lame calling people
that.
Shrek or Shrek's wife.
Yeah, it's okay. I like Cameron Diaz as an ogre. I think it's a good look.
That's the version I would rather be with, and I mean that was the message of the movie. For all its faults and like its tackiness, that is kind of a nice
The message
thing
of the movie is she thick, and then like a little okay emoji.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think Shrek was put more turned on. Like it's his own species.
She Shrek with 2 K's. That's what Shrek 5 is gonna be called. Shrek 5, She Shrek.
She Shrek. Is it gonna be a Shrek 5?
I mean, I have been impressed by the Shrek spin-off media, Adventures of Puss in Boots
Puss
on
in
Netflix
Boots.
Lately. It's been
I should check that out. It's probably on the Australian one.
Let me tell you, seasons 1 to 4 are very bad. Season 1, it was okay, and it was bad because it seemed like it would get better. And season 2, it was like, oh, this has not got better. Season 3 was this isn't getting any better. Season 4, it was like, why the hell am I watching this bad show? Season 5,
I know,
fucking killed. Season 5 ruled.
You always accuse me of wasting time on things I hate.
Well,
I watched 4 seasons.
Turns out it was the right decision. Season 5 was an absolute banger. Season 5 ruled. It was excellent.
Yeah, I get good material from suffering through things.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, they always had, like, aspects I liked. Like, they were always really cool character designs. There was always some good ideas. It just always, like, after the season was over, it's like, that did not come together into anything worthwhile. Never watching that again.
Yeah. That's why I watch every Nostalgia Critic video, although I don't think he's ever come through for me.
Yeah, just waiting for him to get his second. Wait, I'm here to tell you it can happen. Adventures of Puss in Boots Season 5, just, man.
You think Nostalgia Critic Season 11
I was excited after watching it. I was like, that really did a good job there.
I just find the story of Doug Walker really sad, because, like, he was like, I'm ending Nostalgia Critic, I'm doing my comedy sitcom, it's my dream, and he had to sheepishly bring back the Nostalgia Critic.
I didn't see his narrative attempt.
It was really, really bad. It was... Well, there's lots of juicy drama about Channel Awesome. Like, they fired that obscure Lupa girl, because she was, like... She didn't answer a Skype call after 15 minutes because she wasn't there. And they're like, you are now fired and we're removing all your videos from the website.
I don't know who that is. I don't know anything about this.
I barely know who it is.
What was her deal?
I think it's like an anime reviewer or something. I don't know.
Is that still in existence as like a... Like it was a big website and there were lots of contributors. And they were all on YouTube now. It was all under his umbrella, but, like, is that still a thing anymore? Because I know Lindsay Ellis has gone off on her own now.
She's split. A lot of people have left. I think the website's still up, but I think he just puts his stuff on YouTube and gets money that way. But it wasn't just under him. There was, like, the CEO guy who was, like, a big dick who, like, owns the Nostalgia Critic, and he owns everything. And yeah,
he's
the one who fired her.
It's like...
Yeah, the drama is interesting.
It's like Kesha and her manager who won't let her go.
Yeah, but, I mean, Doug's never said a bad word about him, but then everyone else who was fired or, like, treated badly by him was, like, apparently, he wouldn't let him put links to their Patreon on their videos and stuff, like...
Jeez.
And it's just like, why?
Yeah. Wow.
It's like, I guess you get a little bit of power over this shitty little thing.
That's a CEO mindset right there. I've never been allowed to take tips at any of my jobs.
I don't understand why linking their Patreons would be like what is the reason?
Every job I've
not
ever
let
had,
them
like,
do that.
I've helped out some little old lady and they've been like, you're such a nice young man. I have some pounds, and I've had to be like, oh, sorry, not allowed. And they've been like, oh, do it. They'll never know. Smash the system. And I'm like, I'm sorry, no, I don't want to get in trouble.
And then we're like, don't let
the corporate power structure rule your life, young man. Back in my day, we rebelled against the system. Take the money. And I've been like, no. Sorry, I'm a conformist. I can't.
But if you were to go to PayPal and type in this name, I mean, you don't really have the tipping culture there in Britain, do you, like America does?
Well, we don't. We do in restaurants. But, yeah, generally, we just
Sometimes there'll be a tip jar, and I'll be like...
In theory, our minimum wage is meant to just be enough. It's not really...
That's the same
here. It's not really, but,
What's yours? Ours is, like, $15, which is pretty good. It's definitely way better than America, where it can go down to, like, what, like, $8 or, like, less? I don't know. It's, like, crazy low.
It's all fucked. It's all fucked, man.
Their economy's fucked, and now their president looks like an orange toad. But, I mean, that's not even the worst thing I could say about him. Yeah, let's get political.
He's also got a lumpy butt, and he's got weird wispy hair, and his face folds. His entire face folds when he puckers his lips. It's very strange.
Yeah, I find him unattractive, not just because he's old, but I also think he's ugly.
I agree.
And I wasn't gonna say it, but what the heck is with that tan, am I right, guys? I don't think anyone's ever said that. This might be a podcast.
I think we're pretty woke right now. No one else has say this.
But I've got to say, the audio quality is pretty good in Discord once you turn off that
audio feature. It's not for me, because I left my headphones at my girlfriend's house, so I'm using these crappy iPod-esque earbuds, so I'm not getting no benefits.
I was really mad about the new iPhone and, like, the proprietary headphones, but then I read a thing by some Apple guy who said that, apparently...
It was courage.
Apparently this new version of, I don't know, whatever the cable's called. It's called, like, Flash or something. I don't know what it's called, but apparently the audio is much better, and it's kind of stupid that the standard is this 30-year-old thing, like audio jack.
Well, the standard thing, a 30-year-old thing, is good for compatibility, though.
I know. I mean, compatibility, yeah. But when you think about it, like, the future probably might be also, with, like, better...
Also, standardizing ports and stuff reduces on electronic waste, which is really good for the environment.
That's true, but there is technically this better technology, so there kind of is... There kind of is... I can kind of see...
I just feel like I could, I could wait a few years for the regulations to catch up to the technology instead of letting these companies, you know, run rampant on our...
Yeah, I still feel like a lot of it is just the proprietary thing and having to buy their products. I think that's a big part of it, but also... I never even considered that maybe there was another reason for it, and... kind of made sense a little. I can kind of see, because we do get kind of stuck in these old technologies. Like, DVDs hung around way too long.
All right, hung around way too long. It was devastating that DVDs existed and then went away, and then we were all expected to buy Blu-rays. It was devastating.
Blu-rays were kind of a misstep. I think the next step is what we have now, streaming. Blu-rays were just kind of this weird in the middle thing that no one ever really liked.
It's all just making us buy stuff. Just making us buy stuff over and over when we already own it. So, Beast Wars Season 3. Right. Season 1, Episode 3. Okay.
Season 1, Episode 3, The Web.
The Web. I watched it, like, two weeks ago.
Head away from the base at Vector Omega and check in every 10 microquads. We'll see how far we can track you. If you encounter any Predacons, return immediately.
I'll be moving too fast for them to see me.
You'll do fine.
I can't find my notes. I just had them, and now I can't find them.
Oh, I've got mine.
My
first note just says Scorponok is shiny. He's very shiny in beast mode. That's a question that I wanted to ask. What are your favorite character models from this first season? Or, like, other characters we've seen so far?
I really like Pterosaur, because he's terrifying. He's got like a horrible spooky face.
He's one of the ones who has a head reminiscent of...
It's like that Adventures of Mark Twain cartoon.
Yeah.
And Pterosaur!
Everything about Pterosaur is just off-putting. Just this man existing is upsetting. Just this squeaky man who wants to be all-powerful, but I guess he's just like a little dweeb. But I love that even the dweeby characters are kind of like pretty buff, muscular. Especially when Rattrap becomes Transmetal 2, and they gave him like giant pecs. I always found that really strange, because, like, I don't know, he was a little skinny guy in season one, and that was his character. And then he got the giant pecs and, like, the abs on the toy, so, like, I guess we have to put it in the show, but, like, he was still the same character, and it always seemed really out of place to me.
Yeah, well, the toy designers didn't watch the show, so the writers just had to roll with whatever they were doing.
He looks evil on the toy. I've got it. Like, his face is evil.
It's badass. He's got attitude.
He looks really angry, but
in Beast Machines, his face is just a man, basically human. The Beast bot, Machines for real.
Designs are very strange. That show, I need to finish that show sometime.
Yeah, you should. It's a trip. We'll watch it as part of this show if we get far enough. Doesn't seem like we're gonna get anywhere fast with this episode production.
Anyway, so the plot of this episode, Optimus Primal and Rhinox.
Cheetor is terrible.
This episode is just completely and utterly about Cheetor and what a piece of shit he is and how he doesn't learn his lesson and how others have to stick their neck out and he wrecks everything and he doesn't grow as a person at all in this episode. All he does is, like... I think he learns the wrong lesson at the end of this episode, honestly. Like... I love that Rattrap chews him out at the end and says, I mean, I think I wrote it out pretty well before. What did I say? He says, you're a piece of shit and I'm angry that I had to save you. Like, basically. And then what Cheetor takes from that is, thanks for saving my life. And he's smiling, like, he hasn't learned anything.
He
doesn't understand what just happened.
Or
why Rat Trap's mad at him.
Rat Trap bailed him out, and then Rat Trap said, I didn't bail you out for you. And then she goes like, I'm going to just interpret this the way I want to. Smile.
I mean, I imagine the writers were thinking that Cheeto's right, because that's usually how cartoon writers are. But I like our interpretation, and it makes a lot of sense, and I like
This is the first episode written by Larry DiTilio.
Yeah, I guess he's still getting some of that Zelda attitude. It's a good one.
As much as Cheetor
is the worst character,
I enjoyed this episode. Thought it was good. Thought it was a good time.
So yeah, let's go through the plot then. So Optimus and Rhinox. Rhinox has made this cool communication device.
Yep. I have one note.
They're out in the field.
As the camera is panning across the water, it's panning, tracking, flying. Droning.
That was a cool shot, to be honest. It kind of reminds me of mist and stuff, like that early CGI water. I love that effect, that texture.
I wrote in my notes, water just reflecting random bullshit.
God, I remember I had the 3D package they made mist in, and it was a lot of fun to play with back in the 90s, and it had like a water texture like that, and I loved because like you could make like a cube.
Oh, yeah?
And put that texture on it, and it would make your cube like semi-transparent, and you could see through it. And I thought it was really cool.
Gelatinous cube from Dungeons and Dragons.
And I remember
Dungeons and Dragons.
I made this sphere man with eyes, and I put like the cookie texture on his eyes, and I like bump mapped his eyes, and he had these two giant cookie things as his eyes.
That's some real body horror there.
It was meant to be cute. And then, like, I put the brick texture on these, like, cubes I put in the background, but, like, obviously, you know, I didn't know how to scale textures or anything, so the bricks were just, like, massive on this cube behind this guy and completely misaligned. If I can find the image, it should be the thumbnail for this episode.
I can't believe you'd still have that, but that's awesome.
I think I do. I'm pretty sure I put it on my Tumblr once, like, years ago. I still have this old 1998 backup disc of a bunch of shit like that.
I like the dog you made.
The dog was awesome. That was so much fun to make. That was in the same program, yeah.
Sick.
It's still my YouTube avatar.
Excuse me for a second.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay.
Getting some good.
You got a cold too?
Audio here.
I've been so snotty this past week. It's been horrible.
Yeah, I'm starting to get something. My girlfriend's had something for like a week.
So, oh man, everyone here. I went to the store yesterday and everyone was just coughing and sneezing. It's like, I'm just in a contaminated area. But yeah, so they've made this this communication device, and Cheetor, the arrogant little fuck, comes in and says, well, I'm the perfect guy to test it.
He volunteers without knowing anything, which is endearing, I think. He's still endearing at this point.
Endearing, but I mean,
actually,
I think Optimus Primal.
Actually, you know what? I'm saying it has been 12 days since I watched this. I might be misremembering. I might be in no state to recall this. I've just got my own notes, and I don't know what I'm talking about.
I know I'm biased towards Cheetor, so I hated him from the start in this episode. But I feel like Rhinox and Optimus Primal really made a horrible judgment call. Maybe they don't know Cheetor that well. I don't know how long
it's been a month. And yeah, their dynamic.
That's how long
they've known
him. So they don't know.
Their dynamic
hasn't
changed very much in that month.
They don't quite know the full magnitude.
And they seem to be. Yeah, they seem to be pushing no, no, no as a catchphrase for Dinobot. He doesn't have many lines in this episode, but one of them is no, no, no. Said exactly the same way as he said it in episode one.
You know, the Emperor says that in Revenge of the Sith when he kills Mace Windu.
Well, I mean,
no.
No,
you will die.
Textbook Star Wars, isn't it?
Do you think George Lucas was watching Beast Wars and he said, I really like that funny phrase Dinobot says in those early episodes?
No, I don't think he said that. But I do think that is what George Lucas sounds like when he's making notes to himself.
Did you know Mace Windu?
Not really.
Out the window.
Who is Mace Windu? Is Emperor? That Christopher Lee?
No, it's Samuel L. Jackson. He has a purple lightsaber, because that's Samuel L. Jackson's favorite color.
I saw him say that in an interview.
He is one of the worst characters, and he's a huge dick in those movies.
Whoa, someone had characterization in those movies?
Well, the Emperor does. The Emperor's pretty good. If there's one good thing about the prequels, the Emperor's pretty funny. Like, he just loves being evil. It's very endearing, the way, what's his name plays the Emperor.
I got no idea.
Yeah, he does a good job. The funniest thing in episode 3 is that, like, he shoots force lightning at Mace Windu's lightsaber, and it goes back on him,
episode
and that's how he gets
Beast
all wrinkly.
Wars?
Oh, fuck, yeah. See, it ties back in. No, but, he gets... That's what fucks his face up, and... You know, he was a senator the whole time, and then suddenly one day he just goes into the Senate and he has that fucked up face. And no one questions it or says anything about it.
Well, that would be rude.
I guess. It's just... I look really evil now. But, okay, so... Cheetah volunteers, and he goes out in a lightning storm to test it out, and it's working pretty well. Rhinox did a good job. He's a smart guy. I'm surprised that he made something that small, because I noticed in this episode, Rhinox's hands are fucking massive. Like, when he's next to Optimus Primal, he could just crush his head in his hands. They are huge.
Yeah. I mean, his fingers are large, but also delicate. And that's why
He's a gentle giant type. But I think Rhinox is a pretty cool model. Oh, another thing I wanted to say about Pterosaur and Optimus Primal is I think their robot heads are, like, the closest to the old Transformers series in terms of design. The rest of them mainframe kind of...
The old squishy
the
males.
The old 80s. Yeah, they look very Japanese.
I've never liked that... I don't know what... I just... Probably some in-universe explanation, like it's made from some kind of reactive polymer. But I don't like seeing a robot with a squishy face just... slopping around like it's made of flesh. I don't know what the
whose face
what
do you think
the
is
deal
squishy?
Is. That's not what I want from my robots.
You think everyone's face is squishy? Like the way their mouths move?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it looks good in animation. Like,
I don't know. I'd rather see.
I guess I never thought about it.
You
want to be like Muppets.
Yeah, like Rhinox.
No, but then
there's
great pieces of animation with the mouths sometimes, and you like the cartoony stuff you do.
I mean, but
that's
I
a
mean,
conceit.
But wouldn't that be like a cool challenge as an animator to try and be expressive using mechanical parts?
I think Mainframe had enough challenges animating the show. I don't know if that one would have. Yeah, I guess I never really thought about it. I think there's some, but that's, you love Beast Wars characters looking shocked. You love the facial expressions.
It's true, but there's plenty of instances on that site of, you know, Waspinator looking shocked and Rhinox looking shocked, and you know.
Waspinator has to be another one of my favorite models. I love his mouth, and it's really cool.
Yeah, he doesn't just have like a human.
On the lower mouth. On the lower end, I would say Scorponok looks pretty shitty overall in both modes. He's pretty bad looking. Tarantulas isn't great. I find his boobs really weird. They've always upset me. They've always put me off a lot.
Well, I mean, those are the. I mean that. I mean, presumably the toy had boobs too, because it was the same one as Black Arachnia, which they looked at and said,
"Yeah,
this
that's
one's
why
a girl."
Black Arachnia has big boobs. Because her toy had those giant tarantulas pecs. Yeah, and there's that weird bump map texture on him. I don't know, but that makes sense. He's a creepy character.
Tarantulas is great in this episode, by the way.
This is one of the things
I really enjoyed about this episode, the kind of horror element.
Oh, and his perverse nature. Like, when he says, it's not about the eating of Cheetor, it's about the suffering that's what he enjoys. Like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. I don't have blood, just mech fluid.
That's right, mech fluid.
Mech fluid. You just. It's.
I don't have blood, just human juice.
just robot blood. I don't have blood, just robot blood.
I gotta say, Tarantulas' voice actor is great.
Hey, sure.
I don't know who it is. I don't know what else he's been in, but Man, he's so good at that creepy, kind of deep...
Yeah, that laugh.
That laugh is great. Tarantulas is a real highlight of the show, and, you know, he can disappear for ages, but he's always there in the background doing something creepy, and He's got his own agenda, and then I guess this sets up really early on that he kind of, like, he's got his own base. Like, he does his own thing. He's
Meanwhile, Cheetor's voice actor, Cheetah the Base! Cheetah the Base!
I love how many, like, you said you lost count how many times.
I tried counting it. Cheetah the Optimus, Cheetah Maximize, Cheetah Out, Cheetah the Base, Cheetah the Base. Every other voice actor is nailing it. They're saying Cheetor.
Oh, actually.
Every other character, Cheetor.
On that same note, I was saying before, Cheetor's face in robot mode is very, very 80s Transformers cartoon.
Yeah, he's a soft boy.
I kind of prefer the ones where Mainframe kind of did their own thing. Like, they really reinterpreted Dinobot's head, and Rat Trap's got a cool head. Because I kind of feel like this show was in very large part made by people who don't really know much about Transformers. Like, the animators probably too. Which is cool. It's got its own flavor.
Alright, I also made a note.
So anyway,
I can't.
Okay, this is something that I wrote down, and this is what happens next. Cheetor finds Scorponok, and he's pulling out a cannon, and then he gets pissed off and transforms and then shoots it. Which, I mean, seems like a really dangerous thing to do with, like, this precious item that you're trying to salvage.
Well, I mean, Cheetor's being a dick this whole episode.
That's what I was saying. This is something that he did in the first episode, and time again, he finds Predacons doing their own thing, and he engages them and decides he's going to shoot them. Like, who is the bad guy here?
Well, the Predacons. But, you know, one of them, Cheetor, is dumb.
I think Dinobot's head would explode if he saw, like, all the dishonor that Cheetor,
No, he didn't admire it. Where would be the honor? In living life, if you didn't make the dumbest decision at any given time and make it hard
for
everyone.
There is no reason for him to attack Wasminator in the first episode, for several reasons. Like, he was just hanging out.
Well, he was on a spaceship that was shooting their spaceship.
Doing it. That's true, but Wasminator, he's a nice boy. He doesn't want to be evil. I guess they hadn't really set that up. At this point, Wasminator's probably still just a generic evil guy. It'll be cool when we get to the episode where they decide he's just a stupid goofhead. I don't even remember what episode that is, but that'll be fun to see. Apparently, they did that because we probably said this before, but they hated Scott McNeil's voice for Wasminator because they thought it was too slow and annoying, so that's why they kept killing him.
Nice.
Okay, so, yeah. He gets the jump on Scorponok, and Scorponok seems to be carrying to his whim, but then he stops obeying Cheetor's command because a little Spider-Man happens to be right behind Cheetor. And that's Spider-Man.
I gotta sneeze again. Ah, snap.
It's Tarantulas. So Tarantulas gets the drop on Cheetor and takes him away to his lair, his BDSM lair, where he does unspeakable things.
That's where the episode starts getting really good. Let me blast through all the notes I've written up until that plot point. Okay. Cheetah volunteers without knowing things. At one point they refer to a way of measuring distance, microquads. tiny quarters of a thing.
Tiny?
There's lots of lots of from Rhinox. The communicator that Rhinox built. Okay, so Cheetor. They can't.
I mean, Cheetah.
They can't speak to Cheetor with it, it seems, even before he goes out of range. It just works one way.
Oh, right. Do you notice how, like. I think this was a good workaround for the animators, because I guess they didn't want to animate this, but when he puts the device on Cheetor, it just kind of appears on him, and then, like, all the sections one by one kind of appear.
Oof.
As an animator, I see what you did there, you lazy fucks. I know exactly why you animated it like that.
You should have not finished this episode if it wasn't ready. You should still be
working
on it now.
That's what George Brassard said before he lost his game to Duke Nukem Forever. You know, it's not his fault that game is so shitty.
No can do, baby.
Well, it is
glow.
And it isn't.
I don't can't remember what point of the episode it's from, but it's a good thing. Someone says.
I think that is when
Cheetor confronts Scorponok, he calls him clawful, which is a good slur you can use on anyone who has claws. He says Cheetor the base twice.
That reminds me. I saw a gif today of a scorpion's mouth, and it actually has two little mouths. Like. The little, like, pincer things have mouths inside them. It's fucking...
Scorpions are cool.
Ooh. Scorpions are creepy. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, that would have been a heck of a cool thing for that toy to have if they had looked at a real scorpion before making that toy. Did they look at any animals when they made these toys?
the bare bones.
That reminds me, I want to give a big shout out into that thing I was saying before about favorite character models. Optimus Primal's beast form is hilarious in season one. And seeing him do like dramatic, like serious scenes.
Yeah, me up every time. One of my notes here was just sad gorilla.
I know he makes everything so funny. The best shot is on in episode 1 or 2 when he turns back to his crew and he's like, "Stop!" and he's got his butt out and he's. Holding his hand out. It's just it's a great image. So what were the rest of your notes?
Poor Scorponok, second in command just by virtue of being too dumb to be disobedient. I don't know I don't have context
Scorponok's
for any of
IQ,
these.
Scorponok's IQ is something that fluctuates, I feel, in this season. I mean, I'm okay that they killed him, because I don't know if they ever really found a character for him beyond he's the loyal one. Like, is he the dumb one? I guess he's the dumb one, mostly.
I just remembered how this plot actually goes. Cheetor goes and fucks with Scorponok and then gets his ass handed to him. And then he's back in the base and has a dream sequence about being on Cybertron.
Right.
And
that's a cool dream sequence, and it's very strange.
He defeats everyone in the dream sequence. He defeats Megatron in the first like Tex Avery style gag of the show, where his head.
I
smashes.
Love that shot where his head smashes and his teeth come out, and they squish the head
yeah,
model.
It's amazing. My notes
and
on
it's got
that
weird fisheye distortion.
Like, my notes on that the design of Cybertron are like Tron, or more specifically, the Tron levels from Gex.
I mean, Cheetor and Gex, they're not strange bedfellows.
And he calls him Mega Jerk, which is not
man,
his
you're
best.
Getting, I wish I didn't get any of these good quotes. That's great.
It's not as good as Clawful.
Clawful's pretty good.
But yeah, anyway, he defeats all the bad guys, and then.
Oh, I was gonna say, I think that's Megatron's only appearance in this episode, right? This is like a Megatron-less episode.
Pretty much. He appears in the dream sequence and that's it.
Hmm.
But yeah, anyway, after he defeats all the bad guys, Tarantulas and Scorponok, the ones who kicked his ass earlier, come up and he can't beat them because they're the masters of his dreams, like Freddy Krueger. So he now has a phobia.
Oh, I watched that movie for the first time the other day.
It's pretty good, right? It's pretty solid.
Yeah, I love the music.
Mm.
Every time Freddy appears, that cool synth. Man, he's just a guy who likes to be evil. Can you explain the ending to me?
She's still in the dream.
So, but did her mom die earlier?
I mean, probably. It's been a while since I saw it.
Mm.
It sounds
well,
like a thing that would happen.
Nightmare on Elm Street podcast. Yeah. No, it was cool. I mean, the effects are great, especially when the guy gets sucked into the bed.
Mm. Old Johnny
that
Depp.
That was awesome.
Back there.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was Johnny Depp until afterwards. He looks so different.
It's before all the darkness set in.
Yeah, like when he took his dogs to Australia and a customs minister said he was going to kill the dogs. And then Johnny Depp got really mad. And he went on like Jimmy Kimmel and said that guy looked like he was crossbred with a potato. I mean, a tomato or something. But he fucked it up because he didn't say crossbred, he said inbred. I hate when people do that, like, they've got a zinger, but they say the wrong word. It's like, you ruined it, man.
Yeah.
You don't get inbred with
people
something,
who,
you get crossbred.
People who do that are a bunch of petards.
Speaking of, Mr. Petard plays the poo in the Emoji Movie. In cinemas now. Okay, so, did you have more notes?
Well animated scream. Oh yeah. Cheetor. I'm saying it now. Cheetor wakes up and screams and they just kinda turn his head from side to side as his mouth's open, but the timing on it's really good, and it's really good. It's a scream. Really good scream, you really feel it.
Good scream, everybody.
My notes are about to end. Like I stopped taking them at some point.
I've got some more notes for later on.
Then lost them.
But I forgot about that detail that he goes back to the base. So how does he get caught then? What does he do? He goes out again to prove himself? Yeah.
Then I've got the words catted in. I don't know what idea when anyone says that. Catted in.
That is like...
I've catted... I'm going to go cat into...
What a line.
Then I've got sad catted in. Then I've got the dynamics sad gorilla. Change much in a month.
Maybe but sad gorilla should be the thumbnail for this.
I remember what happens is he wakes up from his dream, and Optimus goes like, you fucked up, and then Rattrap's like, yo.
Optimus is mad, which I like, and he doesn't relinquish either. Like, he's pretty pissed with him.
He outlines why he's upset very well, very articulately. Good
leadership. And he says it's going to take months. It took months. Like, Cheetor does not understand the gravity of, like, what he did. And Optimus is like, that took Rhinox months to make. Do you realize how badly you fucked up, you idiot?
Yeah, monkey face. I understand all of the measurements of time. I bet it's a month is like two microquads, right?
Oh, okay. I mean, we're shitting on Cheetor a lot, but, there was something I wanted to talk about and something we can appreciate from Cheetor. How nasty and cool is the gut gun?
The gut gun?
Cheetor's gun has, like, his intestines on the top of it.
I never noticed that before, ever.
You've never noticed that? Yeah, no, it's awesome. Because on the toy, his gun came out of, like, his belly, and it had little intestines etched into it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, his gun
That's
has his intestines
That's
on it.
Sick ass. Yeah. It's like Videodrome.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about Cheetor. I think that's really cool, the gut gun. And I like the noise it makes, actually. Like we already said, the sound design is really tight in this show. Like, every gun and every Transformer has their own unique sound, which is awesome.
That is cool. Anyway, Rattrap's then like, yeah, you're a dumb piece of shit. And Cheetor's like, what? I'm not a dumb piece of shit, and I'll prove it by doing the exact same bad thing again.
Oh, I mean, I wish he would collected the quote from this, because I'm pretty sure he makes a rat pun or something. He's like, I'm going to nibble on your little rat head. Or so, he says something stupid like, I know in the first one he says, what if I cut Mises to pieces? He says something equally dumb, I'm pretty sure, to Rattrap.
Just the constant racial slurs flying around the space. None of them. Good.
These robots have a working knowledge of Earth's animals.
Yeah, I mean, the computer gave them a rundown of exactly what to insult about each other.
Well, I guess they knew about Earth because they're from the future. They know all about the Transformers and the original war, the Great War, do they call it, or something like that?
I think so.
So Cheetor,
Oh, that's an interesting point. Like, you reckon they already knew about cheetahs before they came here because they knew about Earth?
Well, if there was an alien planet in our solar system that we, like, had visited, I think it would be like dinosaurs are for us. Like, we'd be fascinated.
I don't know.
This...
I mean, like, the Somme is a very important battlefield in my history, but I don't fucking know nothing about France.
Well, that's why I'm saying it's more like dinosaurs. Like, it's this.
I don't know what animals they got over there. I don't know what animal a baguette comes from. I don't know what.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, it would be like dinosaurs because it's cool. Like, they would be interested in learning about it because it's this cool thing that you can't see every day. So, like, a cheetah to them would be like a T-Rex.
You'd crush them with your hands.
It'd be like a T-Rex. You'd be like, oh, this is so cool. I wish I could see a cheetah. And there is a T-Rex in the show.
Yeah.
A purple
T-Rex. If that's
T-Rex.
The case, they really should have clocked there on Earth a little sooner.
Yeah, I can't see any reason why if they knew about all these animals on Earth.
Well, two moons. Nope. Wrong planet.
The exact same geography, animals, climate. Anyway, yeah, so Cheeto goes out, and
yep, he goes out again. Scorponok still struggling with this thing, which you pointed out.
I believe it's called a mega cannon.
The mega cannon, which is very important for them to stop, but apparently doesn't ever come back in the show ever again.
Well, maybe Scorponok fucked it up, or maybe it was broken. You never know. Maybe he took it back to base and he's like, oh, it's actually...
All we know is it definitely didn't... it definitely wasn't anything Cheeto did that helped it not...
Or maybe Megatron just shoved it up his ass. Maybe he didn't... It wasn't actually meant for defense or offense. We don't know. We don't know what happened.
We don't know. It's for the fans to decide.
You know what?
These two fans have decided it's Megatron's dildo.
I like it. but I was gonna say something I wish that we had I guess it's not too late, but a yes count for Megatron would be a great idea. Like if we counted how many times he says yes each episode.
And didn't then someone already tally make the whole series. A supercut on YouTube of every yes?
Oh, they did. That's true. I guess the work's done. Go look that up, guys. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I think I've read how many times he says yes and no on the show.
Yeah, people are on top of that.
Still, it would be cool to like have.
Okay, so yeah, this then the episode gets really good because that's when Cheeto gets kidnapped and the whole thing becomes a bunch of cool, spooky, scary horror.
And he gets
stuff,
put on this this little zappy web that drains his power gradually. And Tarantulas has this whole setup where he can control how much pain you're feeling and how much.
Yeah, I think that's just genuinely very, very cool writing when Tarantulas is like, ah, it's current. I can't remember his voice. I'll just play a clip for this bit and not talk. Well, blows me downs. When at the current setting, here's gonna be.
Eerie the stasis web. It drains away the energy, but leaves the flesh alive. At its current setting, this will take only a few moments. But I find a slower pace makes the vital fluids taste so much better.
Whoa, you're one space-happy spider. Cheater, maximize!
I'm afraid the web makes that impossible. Cat you are, and cat you stay. And when your energy's gone, I feast.
He deliberately puts it down on a low setting, so it will take a long time.
I mean,
which is like, usually you're watching stuff with slow death traps, and you're like, "Oh, this dumb! Why isn't it a fast death trap?" But this thing, you know, old Larry, he's had those thoughts himself too, and he lampshades it, and it's very cool.
And it's a great explanation, and it's very creepy. And I do not know what I made of this as a kid, but like watching it as an adult, it's like, wow, this is pretty intense for a kids' show.
Do you think you got that you were meant to be scared by this bit, or do you think your adult sensibilities make it more horrifying?
It's more horrifying as an adult. As a kid, I would have just been like, oh no, Cheeto's gonna die. That probably would have been the extent of my thoughts. I don't think I would have caught on to the fact that Tarantulas is enjoying it in this way that's, you know, kind of sexual.
You don't think you'd been able to like put yourself in his shoes and being like, oh no, if I got kidnapped by a sadist, that would suck.
What would I know about sadism and stuff as a kid? Like nothing. Like I wouldn't have had that extra layer, which makes it extra creepy.
We've pretty much covered this storyline. There's lots of cool torture. Rat-trap jumps in, saves the day.
There's a little scene with Dinobot that we should talk about. And, this is where Dinobot is just a destructive man who wants to kill everyone, and he doesn't have.
Oh yeah, they're discussing how to deal with the cannon.
And he thinks that they should attack and kill everyone while they're weak.
While they are weak!
And he says, there's too much talking, we gotta... Well, it's crazy that he turned into the best character in the show. He really was just a random violent idiot.
It might have been a solid idea.
Yeah.
Do some attacking.
I mean,
you lose a couple of people in the process, but maybe it would have ended the whole thing.
That's always his thinking. You know, I sometimes I do feel where he's coming from with this stuff. Like, they have had many chances to just kill all the Preds that they won't take. Although, you know, a few episodes later, when they think all the Preds are dead, Dinobot is mourning Tarantulas, the same man he wanted to aggressively kill.
Is he?
Yeah. That's another... we'll get to it, but it's another example of Cheeto being a piece of shit. Yeah, when he finds, like, his Tarantulas' leg, and he's like, "Ah, Tarantulas. I knew him, Cheeto." And then Cheeto says, "Aw, do you need a hug?" And it's just like, this man, Dinobot knew, just died.
That sounds fair enough, especially considering the history of Cheeto and Tarantulas that we see in this episode.
That is true, but, I mean, I feel like I would conjure up a little empathy. You know, even
anyway,
if I didn't like the guy.
Alright, Brat Trap jumps in, saves the day.
Oh, yeah, there's that cool bit where it has, like, his POV. Doesn't he use his, he has, like, a... Doesn't he get out, like a little thermal thing to trick Tarantulas? That was kind of cool.
He does something cool. Well, I wish I'd taken notes on that. I watched this 12 days ago. Oh, my gosh.
I think what he does is he gets a little heat pack, because Tarantulas is detecting, like, heat signatures. So he gets a little thing to, like, fake one, which I guess he has, and it tricks him. Mm-hmm. And then there's a wacky cartoon moment where he says, "I hate that rat," and then, like, a brick falls on his head.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Squash and stretch the model when that happens. And, so they get back to base. And, they're chewing out Cheetor, and Rat Trap seemingly feels bad and says, "Hey, but it wasn't all that."
Yeah. No. He says, like, "Oh, he was just out on a little patrol, and I was with them, and we was doing nothing, and I'll validate the story. Don't you worry, we didn't get up to no mischief."
And then Rhinox says, "Well, that's good. I've been really stressed ever since I destroyed all my stress balls. My hands are just too fucking big."
"It's gonna take me months to build another one of these communication devices. Not because they're hard, just because I keep destroying them the second I touch them. No! At least I've got a new friend. I will call him George, and I will..." No!
And he's just very pragmatic, and he's got this giant to-do list, and he's got to go through it one by one, and, like, the first 20 items are, like, making new stress balls, because he keeps wrecking them, so he can't make the new communicator until he's fixed all his stress balls.
He can't even write his to-do list because he keeps smashing the pencils.
I think a good Christmas present for him would be one of those novelty oversized pencils. Oh, that was another funny thing. When he gets up on the dash in Rhino mode, it looks really funny. Yeah.
I guess it would have been like a perfectly reasonable conceit for the Energon overflow to not apply when they were in their bases, but
I'm pretty sure it doesn't. Don't they say that it doesn't? I'm pretty sure they say
they're just chilling in Rhino form then.
They're just working things out in the early episodes. I mean, apparently, I think Code of Hero is the last time you ever see Rhinox as a Rhino, apparently. I think I read that somewhere.
Oh, wow. Like, they got he hangs around at the base a lot more in the later ones, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, I think they kind of... I think the Energon thing stopped being a plot point by, like, season... Then they just kind of went to beast mode when they just wanted to have fun. It seemed like... But, yeah. But then Rat Trap is like... Cheetor is... Cheetor thing.
So, yeah. Then they're out in the corridor. And Rat Trap goes, like... And Cheetor goes, like, "Hey, thanks for covering for me, man. You're a good pal.
I really appreciate it, my good pal. Dick.
Fucking cheese penis. Yeah, you're a good guy."
Cheese penis.
And Rat Trap's like, "Look here, you motherfucker.
I t'weren't doing it for you. I t'were doing it for me.
yeah, if Optimus found out we was out having a wacky fucking fun time, he'd have been, oh, you piece of shit, he'd have fucked us all up. So I was just keeping my nose clean. Go fuck yourself, you're an asshole. And he walks away.
I hate you. And also, I hate that you destroyed the communicator device. And I hate that you didn't listen to Rhinox and Optimus Primal. I hate that you don't respect them.
I hate that you're the only person who can't get your own name right. It's Cheetor.
Not for Christ's sakes. You can't even say your own name for...
You named yourself, and now you can't even...
Wait, what's the god in Transformers? You can't even say your own name for...
Unicron? Is that the bad guy?
Unicron? Oh, yeah. Awesome. Remember the interview with Orson Welles just before he died, where he was talking about how he's in Transformers, and he's like, I'm an awful, stupid robot who kills other ugly robots. It's really funny.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, no, he's not wrong.
This cold has just got worse over the course of the last hour.
Maybe you're catching my cold through this call, and it's making it worse.
Yeah, fucking sucks. It's blocking my humor circuits.
This is I had a line that I wanted to say after Rat Trap chews him out, and he's like, I'm fucking off. He says, anyway, get out of my way. I've got garbage to munch.
Why are you doing that?
Why
You're not a rat.
The traits of the animals? They don't really do that, except sometimes they do.
What is garbage in this, like, prehistoric world?
Do Transformers make waste? Is there stuff they had... I imagine them throwing away?
I mean, there's all of Rhinox's stress balls.
That's true. Yeah, he's eating his stress balls.
But I don't know why a rat would want to eat those. Or a robot who is can turn into a rat.
You see him eating apples sometimes, don't you? I feel like that's been a visual.
Yes.
At least once.
I mean, yeah, I think they mentioned they can eat food and then turn it into mech fluid, I guess. Turn it into energy.
Are you saying that humans eat food and it turns into blood?
I mean, that's more or less how I understand it. That's why they give you a biscuit after you give blood. Thanks, Gozel. Oh,
they give you sausage rolls and pies by the time I
Whoa,
get blood.
And a
milkshake.
Biscuits.
They gave me a milkshake and as many sausage rolls, pies, and Mars
bars. No, we get strictly two biscuits and a glass of orange juice. What the fuck? Kidding me?
We get as many sausage rolls, pies, Mars
bars,
and milkshakes as
we want. You said. What are you doing? Rubbing it in?
I am rubbing it in.
We get a cup of tea or an orange juice and we get two biscuits and then we're sent on our way. What is this about pies and sausage rolls? The heck? The heck? How you got money for that?
And you can have a milkshake of any flavor you want.
Australian, has the Australian government got money for that? I guess exporting all the coal.
That's true. Yeah. And these aren't fun-sized Mars bars. These are full-sized Mars
Motherfucker.
Bars.
Motherfucker! I'm furious.
Dude, yeah, it's a good racket if you wanna do something nice, have a nice little feed.
Maybe I'd do it more often if I got sausage rolls out of the deal.
Well, I feel like that's why they do it. I think it encourages you. And also, they don't want you to pass out. Giving you two biscuits sounds really sketchy to me, like, you know.
Well, yeah, you sit down. You can sit down for as long as... I mean, can't really. There's a queue, but...
Yeah. The thing I hate the most is the finger prick. It hurts so much, dude. Ooh. It's such an intense,
targeted pain. It's probably different for different people. I mean, I feel like my, that bit behind my elbow, that bit where they stick the main needle is... It gets a little achy after it's had the needle in it a little while.
You know, I don't mind needles. It's just looking at them that I hate. Like
giving that blood come out of yours.
Yeah, watching the blood come out
grosses
me out. But if I don't... I'm just imagining Cheetor giving blood. I mean, mech fluid.
I mean, it's probably
imagine
done.
Cybertron, they have, like, posters that are like, give mech fluid today.
Hey, thanks for not telling him about...
Save it, kiddo! If I told Optimus about your little play date with tarantulas, he'd kick my sweet pink butt, too! And one more thing. If you ever pull a stunt like this again, I will personally rearrange your spots. Now, get out of my way. I got garbage to munch.
And thanks for saving my life, pal.
Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Thanks for listening to Beast Friends Forever.
Yeah, and we'll see you when we see you. I don't know. Next week? I don't know.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah, maybe. Goodbye. Bye! Remember when Dr. Nick died in the Simpsons movie and he said, bye, everybody?
Sort of. I'm not, yeah. I'm not going to include any more Simpsons quotes in these.
The thing I remember most about the Transformers movies, I rented it, and it said it was rated G on the cover, and then, like, 40 minutes in, the human character says, "Oh, shit, what are we gonna do now?" And then my brother went and told my mom that they said shit in the Transformers movie.
I used to tell on media when I was a kid. like they said, like, I read an issue of Sonic the Comic, and then the Decapitate bits, which I loved. Well, a character said Pillock, and I went and told on it, and my mum was like, "Oh, I might write him in, I don't think that's good." And I was like, wait a minute, I just fucked over a comic I like. Oh no. I don't think she wrote the lot of those. It's good.
Kids get this real
have consequences.
Kids get this real sense of, like, getting to call things out when they hear swear words.
Well, that's what they're taught, right? You know? Conform. Stay vigilant. Call out the rebels.
Oh, well, I was hanging out with my friend when I was a kid at his house, and my mom was going to pick me up later, and I said bloody hell, and he said, "When your mom comes back, I'm telling her you said that."
Dang. Stone cold.
It was stone cold, and then I'm like, am I still meant to hang out with you? We kept hanging out for like a couple of hours after that, like, and then he did it when my mom came.
He just wanted that to hang over you.
He didn't even
like issue an ultimatum or like have a list of demands. Just wanted to feel power over you.
What is so bad about bloody? Bloody really isn't a curse, is it?
I mean, I was always taught it was.
Yeah, I was too, but it seems my mum used to say bloody and she never swears. I remember we had this video game, and if you fucked up, it would say, "You idiot! You idiot! You idiot! You idiot!" And that was my mom's least favorite word, so, like, when that would happen, it would be like, "You idiot! You idiot! You idiot!" She, like, gasps every time she hears the word.
You have grown up with kind of an unusual fondness for that word. Is that because of that?
Probably because it's like a...
You bloody
like
idiot.
Yeah, we couldn't say idiot, even though we would call each other idiots all the time. It's just such a funny word. Calling someone an idiot is funny.
Back off, rat face! Or I'll have a little vermin on a stick for lunch!